Nana Chidragato Darastita Mahadipa Prabhabaswaram.
Nana Chidragato Darastita Mahadipa Prabhabaswaram.
Jnanam yasya tu chakshuradi karana dwara bahispandate.
Jnanam yasya tu chakshuradi karana dwara bahispandate.
Janami titameva bhanta manubhate tatsamastam jagat.
Janami titameva bhanta manubhate tatsamastam jagat.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Let's do the Sunday. Nana. So this whole first line is just one word. It's a countdown. Nana Chidra Gata Udara Stita Maha Deepa Prabha Baswaram. Yeah, those are the words. Do you find one yet, the words?
Yes. Sorry.
There's a couple more here.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Jnana Yasya Tu Chakshur Adi Karana Dwara Bahihi Spandate. Janami Iti Tameva Bhantam Anupati Etat Samastam Jagat. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaha Idam Dakshina Murtaye. Okay. I have a doubt.
I don't know why all of a sudden I have.
Is there a typo somewhere around here?
Not till we get to Advaita Makaranda. Then there's a great big typo. Really big.
We like them big ones.
Yeah, it's one that we'll have get a good laugh at. Out of this typo. You can wait with all expectancy. Okay, I'm getting ready.
In that whole group.
Yeah.
Nana. Nana means many. Okay. Many or various. Nana. Chidra is a hole, a puncture, a hole. Yeah. A chidra, a hole. Gata is a pot. Gata.
Gata.
You see the aspirate ga? Nana, chidra, gata, and then udara, the a plus u is o. So gata, udara, inside. Stita, staying, abiding, placed. Read it backward. Placed in the belly, in the interior, in the inside of a pot which has many holes in it. Right? Nana, chidra, many holes. Gata, a pot with many holes. Nana, chidra, gata, udara, inside. Inside a pot which has many holes. In the stomach of the pot, you can take also. In the belly of the pot. Stita, abiding, placed. Placed in the belly of a pot which has many holes. It's just placed inside of a placed, stita, udara, inside, in the inside, gata of a pot. Which has chidra, holes, nana chidra, many holes, nana chidra, gata, udara, stita. What's placed inside the pot that has many holes? Mahadipa, a great lamp, Prabha, the light of a large, of a great lamp, Mahadipa Prabha, which is Baswaram, which is shining, the luminous, the shining light, the luminous light of a great lamp, Mahadipa. Okay. Like a great, you can take the Maha, goes like there's a bright light, there's a Mahadipa Prabha, the light, there's a light of a big lamp, which is Baswaram, which is luminous, the luminosity of a light, the luminous light of a Mahadipa, of a great lamp, which is placed, stitta, inside udara, of a pot, gutta, which has nana chidra, which has many holes. Okay? Everybody see it? Nana chidra gata udara stita mahadipa prabha basvarana. Jnanam, next line. Knowledge. Yesya. Jnanam yesya. Whose knowledge is shining like the light of a great lamp which is placed in the belly of a pot which has many holes. Jnanam. Jnanam is a neuter noun. Okay. So jnanam yesya from yet genitive singular. Jnanam is nominative. Jnanam spandite. So jnanam, knowledge. Yesya, whose? For whom? Whose knowledge? To, but. Chakshu, eyes. Chakshur. Eyes, adi, etc. So if I say chakshuradi, it means beginning with the eyes. So the eyes will stand for all of the sense organs. If you say chakshuradi, beginning with the eyes, so the eyes, chakshuradi, karana. Karana are the instruments, like the jnanendriyas, the karanas, the sense organs. The sense organs beginning with literally the instruments beginning with the eyes. When we're talking about the sense organs, beginning with the eyes, so eyes, ears, nose, mouth, taste, whatever, touch. Chakshuradi, karana dwara. Through, dwara is actually dwara. This is what I was looking at, I wanted to just check. Dwara is a feminine noun. It can also be a neuter noun, but it's a feminine noun. It means like a doorway. But if you say dwara, it's in the instrumental singular, and it's used through or by means of, going through. So, but through, by means of or through the sense organs, beginning with the eyes, bahihi, outside, gachati, spandite, it appears or it goes, in the bhasha it'll say spandite, gachati, it as though goes outside. It appears to be outside, right? It goes out, you can even say it goes outside through the doorway, dwara is a door, right? Through the doorway, by means of the doorway, of the karanas, of the sense organs, beginning with the eyes.
What's outside? What appears outside?
The consciousness. So say, listen to the whole sentence here. Whose consciousness, jnanam yasya, whose consciousness, which is shining like a lamp, like the light of a great lamp, placed inside of a pot, which has many holes. Okay? Whose consciousness, which is shining like the light of a lamp, goes outside, bahisvandate, goes outside through the doorway, through the doorway of the sense organs, beginning with the eyes. Right, the lamp consciousness, the consciousness of whom? Whose consciousness?
Wait, you've translated that as knowledge, but we're translating as consciousness now.
Jnanam, consciousness, okay. In the sense
so the
of knowledge.
First two, the first yeah. two and the last sentence are really going to the front of the front sentence in translation. Correct?
Yes, yeah. This first line, the whole, every word in it makes for what we call a compound.
Right.
That compound is declined by the last word, and it's declined in the nominative singular, and it's adjectival to jnanam.
Okay.
So then the yesya is owning the jnanam. Whose jnanam, whose consciousness is shining? Jnanam can mean knowledge, it can mean, here it's being used in the sense of consciousness. Whose consciousness is shining? You know, whose consciousness, here's the basic sentence. whose consciousness goes outside by through the gateway of the sense organs, beginning with the eyes. Okay? But whose consciousness, now this top line is an adjective. The whole compound is an adjective to consciousness. Whose consciousness, which is shining like, which is shining brilliantly like a great lamp placed inside of a pot which has many holes. Right? So the pot is like the body, and the many holes are the sense organs.
So that's our condition, right?
That's the upadhi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's as though the consciousness is flowing outside, peering outside, you know, through these sense organs.
Even when you say that, I can sense that condition.
Yeah. Good.
What does spandite mean again? I missed that.
Spandite means to like, it can mean like to spin around or to vibrate, but it also just means to go. Like if you read the Bhasha, it'll say spandite gacchati. It's spinning outside. It just means gacchati. It's going outside by means of the sense organs beginning with the eyes. Everybody okay so far?
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep putting it together as we the whole thing. Good. Janami iti. Janami means I know, right? Janami iti puts I know in quotes. Tam eva bhantam. That tam is that which is illumined, but bhantam is past passive participle. Tam is in the yeah, it's got to be accusative, thanks. Tam, otherwise it would be tet. Tam bhantam, that which is illumined. Anubhati. Anubhati means to shine after. That which is shining. Tam eva bhantam. Wow, I think I did that wrong. Something good. Okay, everybody. Sanskrit people. What is bhantam?
To shine.
Ba is to shine. What form is bhantam?
Is it a
PAP?
Present active particle.
Oh, it's present active.
Sorry.
What's happening?
Never mind.
I don't know. It's only for the
plug your ears.
Sense for the
because you'll all, you know, as you study Sanskrit, this will more and more apply to you. But I want this class to apply to everybody, even those that are really studying Sanskrit. Okay, so tameva bhantam, that which is shining, that alone which is shining, that eva is putting emphasis. What is really shining is only consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. Anubhati means shines after, right? Mm-hmm. To shine after that alone which is shining.
Radha, just 1 second. What does that mean?
I'll tell you.
Shine after.
Like, for instance, this, because of this light, these things are illumined.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So these things can't be illumined. You're seeing all of these things, they're all illumined only because of this light. Yeah. Right? So all of these, the luminosity and the knownness that these things enjoy are because of this light. So they're shining after this light.
It follows.
Yeah. I mean, without this light, these things aren't known.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this light itself is self-luminous, this, just as an illustration. We can go farther than that, that this light itself won't even be known, even though it's luminous within duality, this light is luminous within duality, but without consciousness, it's not known.
Okay, that's...
Right?
Okay.
So that's the shining, means dependent upon.
Yeah.
You know? You can also say, use an example like, the moon shines, the moon is anubhati, it's shining after... is dependent upon the light of the sun for it to be shining. It's not shining of its own accord. Where the sun is shining of its own accord, but because the sun is shining, the moon appears to be shining. You see what I mean? If you look up and you see the moon and it's shining there. It's
but
only shining because of the reflection
the
of the sun.
But the sun is only shining because...
The sun is shining within duality from its own accord because it's fire.
Oh, within duality.
Within duality. But it's only known because of consciousness. So in the end... The only real luminary for knowledge is consciousness. Without the consciousness, these things can't be known.
Wow,
that's the idea.
Thank you.
That verse in Nakarmana.
Naprajaya, yeah.
At the end.
Yeah, Tameva Bhantam and Abhati Sarvam. Exactly. This is kind of taken from that. So jana mi iti tameva bhantam anubhati etat samastam jagat. This entire creation, this entire universe, right? Etat this, samastam. Samastam means all, the entire, the whole. Etat samastam jagat. Jagat is neuter. So this entire universe, anubhati, shines after, is illumined because of anubhati. It literally means to shine after, but if I have to understand the meaning. Etat samastam jagat, this entire universe, shines after that which is itself shining. That's the eva. Tam, that which is itself shining, in the form of I know, janami. You see what they're saying? Do you? Like everything, all of this universe is shining after the consciousness which is me. And so in what form is it shining after? In the form of I know. It is known, it is known, it is known.
And I know is...
In quotes.
Could you say that one more time? Yeah.
Etat samastam jagat. This entire universe, right? Etat is this. Samastam entire. Jagat universe. Nominative singular. Etat samastam jagat. Anubhati. Shines after tam eva bhantam, accusative singular. So this entire universe shines after that which is itself eva, tameva, that which is itself bhantam, shining. This universe shines after that which is itself shining, means self-luminous consciousness. And how does it shine after? In the form of I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. That's how it's shining after. That's how it is known. It's known in the form of I know. The I know depends upon consciousness. But now if we go back to the first verse, it gives a little example. So it says, tasmai, my salutations, namaha idam to Sri Dakshinamurti, to him, tasmai. So my salutations to him, jnanam yasya, whose knowledge? Whose jnanam? Whose consciousness? You can say knowledge or consciousness, but you have to understand the context. It's not knowledge of something, it's the self-evident consciousness. So namaha idam, this salutation, tasmai, to him. Jnanam yasya, whose knowledge? Which is nana chidra gata udara stitha maha deepa prabha bhaswaram, whose knowledge is shining brightly, prabha bhaswaram, maha is shining brightly by the light of a great lamp, maha deepa, which is placed stitha inside udara, a pot which has many holes. That one whose consciousness is as like placed in a pot which has many shining, placed in a pot which has many holes, goes outside. It goes outside through the sense organs, right? But that consciousness goes outside through the sense organs, really like the consciousness, the light in a pot which has many holes. Okay. And having done that, etat samastam jagat, this entire universe, shines after that very jnanam. Tameva bhantam is referring back to the jnanam, but in the form of janami, I know.
Seems like a good verse for chidabhasa.
Chidabhasa? It can. Chidabhasa is very tricky, you know, because chidabhasa can, the reflection of consciousness, it tends to make you think that your experience of consciousness is the chidabhasa. So you have to be careful with it. Swamiji actually stopped using it, the term, because it's a tricky term.
So what are we supposed to think when we say, I know, what, in reference to these statements?
That the conscious being that you are, the one, the pure knowledge, which is in really in the form of pure knowledge. So let's just look at why jnanam is also a very good word for consciousness. Your experience of the aparoksha jnanam, aparoksha, the self-evident awareness, the experience of self-evident awareness, just me, the conscious being, in reference to this world, translates in our language as it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. Means this is, if I say, let me give some synonyms. Everything that you experience, this entire jagat, it is known. Now I could say, everything that you experience, it is illumined. Everything that is this entire jagat that you experience through your sense organs, right, through the means of your sense organs, is known, it is illumined, it shines in awareness, I am aware of it. All of these are kind of used synonymously. So that's how you experience the world. It is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. How do you experience it as this world is known? How do you even experience it? Through the sense organs, right? So the consciousness as the consciousness which illumines the mind, and the mind which illumines the sense organs, and the sense organs which illumine the objects, right? Through this mechanism, the consciousness appears, goes outside in the form of the sense organs to illumine this to illumine whatever you experience in the form of it is known. So now, if everything that you experience, including your vritti, your thought modification, any vritti in the mind, right? Like say a vritti in the mind is born of your sense perception of this painting, for instance. Say your perception, you're looking at this painting with your eyes that forms a thought modification in the mind, and that, then that thought modification is known. Whatever vritti in the mind, it is known. And you can, the mind then, with the ahankara, can say, I know, right? This vritti, I know. If the vritti is of something outside, you know, outside of the body, then that's through the sense organs leaking out through the pot. Those are the holes of the pot. The sense organs are the holes of the pot. Consciousness itself is simply shining, right? But if the pot has holes in it, the shining goes out through those holes. The consciousness is not going out, you know? But consciousness is not doing anything. But if the pot has holes in it, if the body has sense organs in it, then wherever those sense organs land, the awareness is as though going out, you know, to know the world. And so this world that is then known is known in what way? It is shining after the consciousness. It is illumined because of the consciousness, which is going out through the sense organs. So if that means it's shining after the consciousness, which is the one that is self-shining. Right? Yeah. Consciousness is lighting up, kind of like a pot. That's why they use this example. I mean, no example is perfect, but it kind of gives you an understanding of what they're trying to say. Just like if a flame is sitting inside of a pot, if the pot doesn't have any holes in it, right, then the light of that flame is not going out outside through the holes. But if it has holes, it's going to go out through the pot and light up whatever those holes are directed toward. So like that, the consciousness, which is abiding in this body from the standpoint of the body, is going out through the sense organs to light up this world, which shines after, right? Which shines after, when you say, which shines because of that consciousness, which is self-shining. See, the consciousness isn't dependent on anything for its shining, for its luminosity, but the entire world is dependent on that consciousness for its shining.
So it would still be there without the sense organs.
That's right. It doesn't make any difference to consciousness. But if there's sense organs in operation, then those sense organs, which, backed by the mind, enjoy consciousness, as though, you know, consciousness as though spreads out into the world to make the world known, it is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. Mm. Now, this word, it is known, it's used for consciousness. Let's look at it like this. If in your experience, in fact, when we use the word conscious, you are conscious of everything that you're perceiving at this moment, all of it exists within consciousness. You can also say all of it is known. So if I close down my sense organs, then what is known? Just the mind. You say you close down, like I close my eyes, now I'm not perceiving the world, so the world is not known. I'm talking about immediate knowledge, pratyaksha. you close your eyes, the world now is not known. But what is known, you know, is the darkness, right, that you're of your eyelids being shut. That is being illumined. And then also if you pull back from that and just focus on your mind, then what is being known is whatever vritti happens to be there in the mind. And so this is what we do in meditation. We withdraw from our sense organs, and then those sense organs are now not forming a vritti because we're withdrawn from them. And so then now what are we illumining? You know, only the thoughts in our mind. Then those are known, whatever the thoughts are. Now say we do japa or pranayama or something, some meditative technique, and we continue to quieten the mind. Then what is known? The quiet mind. Now the quiet mind is known. Now what if the focus goes more in rather than the silence of the mind, to the silence illumining the mind, the awareness illumining the mind? Now the mind itself is still there, but the focus is more just on awareness. So now you have awareness illumining as though its own content, which is there's no subject object there. The focus is only on awareness. Now, what is that? Is that known or not?
Yes.
You say, yes. There, all the way through, from object to subject and back and forth, what remains as the content is knownness. You can never get away from knownness. The object of what is known, the object continues to change, but that it is known never changes. Even if you start with your sense perception and then go to the perception of a vritti, then go to the just perception when you totally resolve the vritti, just to the nature of the subject that's illumining the vritti, all the way it is known. And so the known is really just another name for awareness, because awareness, by its very nature, is known. Right? So I'm using language here I'm using the language of is known to help you to see the common denominator of awareness, whether it's identified with an object or identified with a subject, it's all the same.
But don't you, when you say is known initially for the outside world and then for your mind, when you say is known, at that time, isn't that referring to the knownness of the mind?
It is, but what I'm trying to do, it's referring to the... Always when you say something is known,
right,
it's referring to the object. But what I'm trying to make clear with this... By the way, as you all know, I've been doing this for years, and it very rarely works. a lot of people don't like
warning,
this.
Warning!
That's really a good opportunity to ask you.
Yeah. This idea of knownness doesn't seem to work that well for people. But to me, it's so good that I'm trying to force the issue here for me. But now, this is the thing. You know this anvaya vyatireka, this particular anvaya vyatireka logic. The anvaya vyatireka shows the relationship of one thing to another. It's a logic that's meant to do that. The anvaya shows the positive relationship. The vyatireka shows the negative relationship. So it goes like, here's an example, the stock example. The anvaya shows a relationship between the day and the sun, right? So I can say that when the sun is, like when the sun is up, the day is. Without the sun being up, I mean the sun, when the sun is, the day is. There's a positive correlation there. The two have to be together. But in order for it to really be true, I have to also be able to do a negative correlation and say, when the sun is down, the day is not. So if both the positive correlation and the negative correlation apply, then you can say there is a definite dependency, a dependent relationship between these two things. That's called anvaya vyatireka. Now, there's a positive correlation, but not a negative correlation? Like, what if I said like this? What if I said when the sun is, the day is, but when the sun is not, the day still is? What would that tell you? Day is not dependent on the sun. They happen to exist there at the same time, but there's no dependent relationship. So now here, that anvaya vyatireka is really an important tool for being able to differentiate yourself or one experience from another experience, even. If the two, if two experiences correlate in the positive and the negative, then there's a dependent relationship. But if they don't correlate, they correlate in the positive but not in the negative, then there's not a dependent relationship, because you can be, you can have one without the other. Like, for instance, an obvious one is when we, and in all of the different traditions do this, you know, I am aware of my vritti. The vritti, the thought modification, enjoys consciousness. Right? This thought, right, enjoys consciousness. But this thought comes into consciousness and goes out of consciousness. So I can say, when the thought is, consciousness is. That's a positive correlation, and it's true. You can't have a thought that, that as we're using thought, I'm not talking about unconscious material, but when a thought is there, consciousness is. So you can say, and this is the satyamitta, you can say, you know, the thought is there, consciousness is there. The consciousness, the thought is consciousness. Because you can't have a thought without consciousness. So you can say, positive, this is the understanding, the thought is consciousness. Well, actually, that is your experience, that the thought and consciousness are one and the same. So what you're really saying is when the thought is there, consciousness is there. Right? You make a deduction then, therefore, that the thought is consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay? In a way, that's true. However, the negative correlation doesn't hold, because when the thought goes, consciousness is still there.
Because it knows.
Yeah. Now the next thought, another thought has come. Right? And another thought has come. So the thought, the consciousness itself is not dependent on that thought. The thought is dependent on consciousness, but consciousness is not dependent on that thought. Otherwise, when the thought goes, consciousness would go. You would have to say, when this thought is, consciousness is. When this thought is gone, consciousness is not. No, that's not true. So the negative correlation isn't there. So then we have to say, well, When this thought is, consciousness is. When this thought is gone, consciousness still is. Or when this thought is, consciousness is. When this thought is replaced by another thought, consciousness still is. Mm-hmm. Even though the two thoughts negate each other, right? Because this thought is different than this thought. But the consciousness which they enjoy remains the same. So now say we use known instead of consciousness, thinking of it in terms of this anvayavyatireka. This experience is known, right? This experience is known. Now, that this experience goes away, all I have to do is say this experience and then this experience. So this experience, this perception, this vritti, goes away. This vritti, which is known, goes away. But the knownness doesn't go away. The names and forms of the knownness are constant, you know, go away. But the knownness never goes away. So whether it's this is known, generated through a vritti in my, through my sense perception, or this emotion is known, or this ahankara is known, or in nirvikalpa samadhi, when the mind is totally resolved, what is known? It's the same known. So the knownness, you know, has a negative correlation with the mithya. The mithya has a positive, anything that's perceived. Anything that's perceived has a positive correlation with consciousness, because it's never away from consciousness. But consciousness has a negative correlation with everything that's perceived. And that's the satyamitya. We can say everything that is perceived is known, right, as long as it's there. But consciousness is always known. Consciousness is known independent of the vritti. Why? Because it's very swarupa.
That knownness seems to be of its own accord without any body.
That's right. That's the whole idea. Mm. That the knownness that you, the consciousness you identify with the positive correlation between consciousness and an object is labeled, it is known.
Mm. And so what is the experience, you said this before, but what would be the experience of the is known in deep sleep?
In deep sleep, the is-knownness is not going to be there from the standpoint of the mithya, of the vritti, because the vritti itself is an unmanifest condition. And since the vritti is still there, But it's called an ati sukshma vritti, a very subtle vritti. When you go to deep sleep, the mind and the ahankara, the I notion, are all in unmanifest condition. So now, this is another thing. Consciousness itself is not a knower, it's just known. It's not a knowledge of anything, just like the sun isn't doing any type of a action to illumine the world, but because of its own nature, the world is illumined. Right? It's not saying, let me light up the world. The world is lit up because it is. Because the luminosity of the sun is. It's not performing an act, it's just its nature. Like that consciousness is your being, it's not performing an act. It simply is consciousness. Okay, so now, when the vritti is awake and not in what we call avyakti, in its unmanifest condition in deep sleep, then there's a running commentary going on. In fact, the deep sleep state also is known. But there's no one in the mind. Remember, the one that's talking is the ahankara or the awake vritti that says, there's no awake vritti to be able to say, oh, this deep sleep is, you know, so nice. I'm not being disturbed, you know. But when the mind wakes up, then it can give a full description of the deep sleep state. You know, it'll say, I slept so well. I didn't know anything. I wasn't even dreaming, you know. It was so profoundly deep. I can go on and on about it. Yeah. You know?
But at the time of deep sleep, this self-evident knowingness doesn't seem to be self-evident.
That's not true. Even in the waking state for an ajnani, for one who doesn't have knowledge, I don't consider my consciousness as self-evident. I consider the conscious me as a knower. This is all part of the problem. Because the adhyasa, the superimposition with the mind, is so much. And why shouldn't it be? Because from the standpoint of the creation, and from the standpoint of the upadi, your upadi means that which conditions the as though conditions the self. The body, mind, sense organs experiences itself as a conscious being. Because when the mind is awake, you know, I am. This body, mind, sense organs is totally dependent on consciousness, totally enjoys consciousness. There's no distance between consciousness, you know, and the mind, which penetrates the body through the sense of touch and the sense organs. Right? And so there's no distance. So the person can say, I am a conscious being. But then, and that's true, because this whole world is a conscious being, in fact. You know, but then do you say, is the negative correlation also true? That the consciousness, which the mind enjoys to give it knowership, you know, and the sense organs need in order to have it to be able to perceive, does that mean that consciousness itself is that? Is the negative correlation true? We have to say, no, the negative correlation is not true. Positive is true, the negative is not. That means that consciousness is something that is independent. Right? Because even though the body, mind, sense organs depend on it for its being, it doesn't depend. That dependence is not. The negative correlation isn't there. So I, in fact, am free. But what am I free of? I'm free of everything that the upadis, the conditioning adjuncts, provide. That means I'm free of the physical body. Anything that can be objectified, I'm free of the physical body. I'm free of the sense organs and sense perception, which they give. I'm free of the mind, which means I'm free of knowership and enjoyership. You know, any of the subject-object duality. I'm free of the ahankara to say that I am this or I am that, or I'm free of any type of identification with the mind to say I am the knower of that. Which you see in deep sleep, there is no, the mind is in unmanifest condition, so there is nobody there saying, I am the knower of that. Right? Because you require the mind for that. But your being is not at stake in any way. And when you wake up, you know, when you wake up, then you describe that condition because awareness is illumining, you know, the ati sukshma vritti, of the mind, which is in avyakta condition. So it's sattva in the avyakta condition. There's nothing manifest there. So the mind wakes up, and then you have a remembrance, a memory of the vritti that you had at the time of deep sleep. Yeah. So there's one other thing to understand here. And that is, in deep sleep, when the mind, when you're not in a liminal state, when you're dreaming, there's time and space and duality, even in the dream, but it's dream time, right? And there's subject-object relationship. In the waking state, there's time, the measurement of time and space, subject-object duality, knower known. In the deep sleep state, when the mind is in avyakta condition, avyakta means unmanifest condition, there's no time. You know? There's no marking of time because there's no subject-object duality. And so you can't even say that what happened to me in the deep sleep, because in the deep sleep there is no time for there to be a past, present, and future. Like, there's no one aware of the passage of time because there is no time in deep sleep. In terms of there's time in the objective world, but there's no marking of time in the deep sleep. If there is marking of time, you're not in deep sleep. You're in a liminal state. The most kind of bizarre experience of this for anybody who's ever had a surgery. Has anybody had a surgery?
Oh, yeah.
You know what that's like? This is what it's like. They put the anesthetic in you and they tell you to count backwards sometimes. So you're going, you know, 100, 99, 98, 97.
And you're going, I'm sure this isn't going to work on me. 96, 95.
But then, you know what? Then you open your eyes.
Oh, no.
And it's over.
And it's gone.
It's over.
It's bizarre.
Isn't that weird? there's no marking of time whatsoever. So you don't remember, you know, you don't remember that number 96 at some point, you know. All that happens is that you open your eyes. It is the most bizarre experience. But there's no marking of time. So I mean, you can't get much more of a deep sleep than that, you know, because usually for us, at least for me, I'm not that deep. I'm not that deep of a sleeper. And so I'm very rarely, you know, in deep sleep. Or I probably am, but coming in and out, you know. And so there is a marking of time throughout the night because I'm coming in and out. But even then, sometimes you are in deep sleep and you come out of the deep sleep and 2 hours have gone by, but you have no recollection of that, you know.
Okay. Just a little question.
Now remember the Advaita Makaranda. You're the guy that wants that.
Yeah. We can always extend our.
No, we can.
Okay. You know, when I'm awake, I have a sense of consciousness, and it is there. And that sense of consciousness is different when I'm in deep sleep, That sense I want to have while I'm awake. I mean, am I looking at consciousness wrongly?
Probably.
Well, I'd like to make a correction, whatever.
We'll make the correction.
And you know, Radha, and I'm glad you don't give up on that same question that Kiki keeps asking. So both of you keep doing it.
No, because this is an important question. It's something that it has to click. You have to say.
Yeah.
One more question, then we have to move on, or we won't do it by the Makaranda.
I have a question about what you were saying. Usually, we're aware of something, so that's
using the sense organs in the mind, subject object.
Yeah, but then, you know, if I'm meditating and I come to be aware of myself, of consciousness, is there an experience of that, or how?
It would be, just kind of in brief, whatever activity is going on in the mind, whatever vritti is there, that is illumined naturally, yeah, because the vritti is sattva. So whatever sattva, so whatever the vritti is going to be illumined. Now, in meditation, what happens is that the mind is withdrawing from all forms of objectification, like sense organs will objectify the world. The mind has its own activities that are being objectified, just like thought flow, moods, emotions, images, unconscious material, that it's generating memories, that it's generating, even when this, you've withdrawn from the sense organs. And so now then there in meditation there'll be an attempt to quieten that down, and we have a variety of techniques to do that. So as we do that, the mind itself is not performing acts of objectification. So now the mind becomes quiet, and it turns toward, like a mirror, turning a mirror around in a sense, toward the awareness that's illumining it. So the awareness that's illumining it doesn't need to be objectified. It's its own experience. It's always there no matter what. Your being is always present no matter what is being objectified or not being objectified, because consciousness is the one because of which everything else shines. But the problem, why we even bother to meditate, is because we need to recognize, the mind needs to be able to differentiate itself from the one that's illumining it. And so when the mind then becomes quiet, it focuses on the consciousness which is illumining it. When it does that, the content of the mind is the very consciousness that is illumining it and is its very self. Right, the mind doesn't have any being away from the consciousness, which is its light. But when it focuses on the consciousness, then what is its content? It's not going to be a pot or a sense perception or a mood or emotion. It's going to be the very subject that's illumining it. And so that mind, at that moment, is a very subtle vritti that can be called, at that time can be called, you know, it's having a what we call savikalpa samadhi. Samadhi means that the mind has totally absorbed itself, you know, it's become totally quiet and has for its content the nature of the self, but it's still aware of itself. You know, the example they use, that's what we mean by savikalpa. There's still a vikalpa there. There's a differentiation there. Like the example they use is if I hold a candle flame up to the sun, and I can still see the outline of the candle, of the flame, even though fire, right? Mm. But if I were to hold that flame against the sun for any length of time, the sun would overwhelm the outline, you know, of the flame. And that's what we call nirvikalpa samadhi. So when the mind becomes so quiet and so absorbed into its own content, there are no longer any outlines. And so there's no subject-object relationship that's being experienced. But what is recognized, because this is all kind of done through knowledge, what you will recognize is that the being, which is self-shining and independent, the negative correlation, not being there, it is independent, that you, you know, is present no matter what vritti is there. It makes no difference what the vritti is. Whether it's a positive vritti or a negative, vritti means thought modification, positive thought or negative thought or perception or imagination, whatever is there, the constant is the self. And that's what's recognized. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's stop this and take our break. We have to move the cars.